our desire of prayers this morning. Certainly always want to acknowledge the faithfulness of God. He's so faithful and good to us. Appreciate his blessings. Thankful for his spirit. Desire your prayers this morning. Have a little thought I'd like to leave with you. The Lord gave us. Title of the thought is Laborers. Turn with me to the 9th chapter of Matthew, please, in the 35th verse. I'd like to read through verse 38. Think about God's Word. It's not new. It's something, no doubt, as we consider it and read it, something maybe that we've heard before. But I pray that each time that God gives thoughts and things to us, it will be something that can be refresh us, encourage us, and challenge us as we journey along life's pathway. Someone have that, if they would please read. Yes, please.
And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples,
The harvest truly is plenteous,
but the laborers are few.
Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Before we consider that verse, I'd like us to think about laborers in a natural sense. I'm working in the architecture industry, so I'm familiar with construction. And if you think about construction, laborers are the ones that do all the work.
That's right.
There are actually jobs, and different companies actually go and seek for and hire laborers.
Yes.
So they really, when you think about it, they, like I said, they do the work. And they are looking for jobs, and sometimes it doesn't matter what it is. Sometimes laborers are just responsible for sweeping up the dust that collects around a job site as buildings are constructed. That's essentially whatever they do, whatever is asked. That's what they do.
Amen.
I think about, it's kind of a funny story, but something, and I can't maybe give a specific example, but maybe times as a teenager, there'd be whatever the setting was, well, they needed something to be done. Somebody needed something to be done. And they would say, you think about teenage boys and how they are. So they would say, who is the strongest person in here?
Yeah.
And you all know how teenage boys are. Well,
I have to say I'm the strongest one.
And then it was followed, well, I need help with such and such.
Yeah.
Sometimes when things like that happen, I think he might be stronger than me. Let him take care of it. Think about something else again in the natural sense as it relates to doing work. Doing work.
Yeah.
Growing up, you have your parents. I need somebody to do whatever it might be, go fold some clothes or whatever it is, somebody. Was anybody in y'all's family named somebody? Because there was no somebody in our family. It was like whoever was willing. Could you imagine if somebody had that name? In today's society, it seems like the name, people name their children all kind of things. But could you imagine if somebody was named somebody? They would have a long list of things to do, wouldn't they? They would come into the world having a long list of things to do. God is calling for laborers. He said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There's so much to be done, yet there's not enough people to take care of.
That's true.
Therefore, pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he send forth laborers. God needs some laborers. He needs some somebody. Think about us individually. We could ask ourselves a question. What are we doing? What are we doing?
Yes.
What type of laborer are we?
Yes.
When you think about the world that we live in today, we're all laborers.
Yes.
You know, the word says that there's only two masters.
Yes.
So we're either laboring for God or we're laboring for the devil.
That's
true. So, you know, we're going to labor somewhere. I would think that we would all want to labor for God.
Yes.
And I believe everybody will endeavor to do that.
Yes.
To be laborers for God.
Amen.
You know, each of us individually, we have our own sphere of influence.
No, that's true.
Yes.
All of us, we're all different people. We go different places. You know, we're not always all together at the same places. You know, I'm away from my wife sometimes. I'm away from my children, so we all have individual spheres of influence. You know, it doesn't matter what age you are either, right?
No.
Even children, they have a sphere of influence.
Yeah.
Young adults have a sphere of influence, don't they? Adults, no matter what age we are, we have different people that look up to us.
Yeah.
People that watch us. At work, at school, wherever we are,
amen.
Somebody's watching.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
Always watching. So let's think about that. The different stages of life. Think about children. We teach our children as parents. I think about mine. I pray for them. You know, my prayer is with them that they would not be influenced by those around them. That they would act in a way that's consistent with how they've been taught.
Yes.
I want their influence to influence other people.
Amen. Amen.
So children, you have a sphere of influence. You're laborers.
Yes.
There's other children watching you.
That's right.
What kind of laborer are you?
Amen.
What kind of laborer are you? You know, your parents aren't always watching, are they, children? We can't see everything that you do. Despite all that we might try, we're going to miss something.
Yeah.
And I can think about myself, and I can tell on myself, because I know as a child, my parents didn't see everything that I did. Kind of was a little sneaky sometimes.
Yeah.
Some things was revealed after I was grown up.
Yeah.
I had to just fess up to it.
Yeah.
But you know, we can't see everything. But you know, God is watching, isn't he? God is watching. So children, y'all are laborers.
Yes.
You can labor in your individual harvest.
Yes.
As God is calling you. Young adults. Y'all have a harvest too. I remember when I went to college. My parents dropped me off at the college. I was there. I stayed on campus. They dropped me off and then they left. And you know what? I sat down on that bed and I'm like, I'm on my own.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, I could do what I want.
Yeah.
You know, you think about it. I can go in the cafeteria and I can eat my dessert first.
Yeah.
I could have. They wasn't there, you know, in the next room. There was a phone call away. But I was there by myself. And I'm sure some of you maybe have had some similar experiences. But you know what I found? The thing that I had been taught stuck with me. I don't remember. I may have even tried it once, but I just couldn't help myself. I had to eat my dinner first. I just couldn't help it. All the things that had been instilled within me from when I was a young child, it was all there. They were still there. So young adults, you have a harvest that you have, that God wants you to work in, to influence those around you.
That's right.
You know, the world that we live in today, they need some positive influences.
That's right.
I remember one time a conversation that I had with somebody that talked about bringing children into the world, saying, this person was based on what I know about them, I don't believe they had any kind of profession. But their fear was, I'm scared, I'm kind of fearful to bring children into the world. And the thought that I gave them to think about and to consider, I was like, you know what? I'm thinking about it like this. I'm going to teach and train my children so they can be a positive influence in the world.
That's right.
We need some, there needs to be some positive influences.
Amen.
All the things that are going on, even you think about it, even middle school these days. Some of the things that I hear my son talk about. You know, be a work in the harvest that God has given you.
Yes.
Even as a young person. You can be a laborer for God.
Yes.
Then there's us that are adults too.
Yes.
We go to work. That's a harvest, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a harvest for us. You know, people are watching.
Yes, they are.
They're watching. You know, we don't always have to say anything. People observe. They know.
Yes.
You know, and if something out of character happens, you can be sure they're going to point it out.
Yeah, that's right.
So Lord, help us in that harvest to work for Him. Whatever capacity that might be. We can be faithful in that. So we all have an individual harvest.
Yes, we do.
From the little children to the young adults, to the middle-aged adults and the more senior adults. We all have a harvest that God has for us to work. But as you think about that, is that all? Is that all? It's not? Let's turn. There's a parable in Luke, the 19th chapter, I desire us to think about and consider this morning. Again, probably familiar scripture, no doubt one that you read many times and thought about and considered. We're going to start at verse 12 and read down through verse 26.
He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come.
So he had 10 servants and he gave them all 10 pounds and he said, occupy till I come. That means just, he wanted them to just sit down on it?
No.
Do something with it, huh?
Yes.
All right. So 10 servants.
Yes. But his citizens hated him and sent a message. We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received his kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man is gained by trade.
So there was a point in time where he came back, and he wanted to find out, what did you do with the money that I gave you?
Yeah.
Did you occupy? How did they do?
Then came the
The first one here
said, Lord, thy pound has gained 10 pounds.
He took that pound that he had gotten from his master, and he gained a ten additional more.
Yep.
Pounds. All right.
And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities.
Wait a minute. So he rewarded him for his efforts.
Yep.
Yeah.
You were faithful in this, what I've given you, so now I'm going to give you a little more.
Yeah.
You are now in charge of 10 cities. Now, you know, no doubt that servant was, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know, there was something mentioned this morning in Sunday school, just talking about acknowledgement. You know, we like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was an appreciation there. So you've done this with what I've given you. So I'm acknowledging that. So I'm going to give you some more.
Amen.
All right.
And the second came, saying, Lord, that pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities.
All right. So he was rewarded as well. Now, do we notice anything? The one that got gained 10... he got 10 cities.
Yep.
And the one that gained 5 got 5 cities.
Yep.
That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yep.
You be faithful with what God has given you, then he's going to bless you.
Yep.
And he'll bless you in accordance with your faithfulness.
Yep.
Now, that wasn't the only example, was it?
No.
There was more.
Here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin.
Can you imagine? Here it is. That pound you gave me, I wrapped it up in a napkin, and you can have it back now. What was the response?
22. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow.
Continue, please, to
me. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury?
You could have done something.
Yeah.
Even just put it in the bank and gain a little interest.
Yeah.
You know, not put it under the mattress. Not going to gain any interest under the mattress.
Right.
And he said,
what did he do? Yes.
And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound.
Take from him the pound.
And give it to him that hath 10 pounds.
Give it to him that hath 10 pounds.
And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds.
But he already has 10. Why are you going to give it to him? Mm-hmm. Well, there was some reasoning behind it, wasn't there?
For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath, shall be taken away from him.
Shall be taken away.
But those my enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I've given something to you. Now what are you going to do?
Yes, Lord help.
Are you going to just hoard it, wrap it up in a napkin, and put it under the mattress?
Oh, Lord.
Are you going to use it? Use it. I mean, I would imagine that master, even if that servant would have said, you know what? I took these pounds, and I tried to do this, and I tried to do that, and I lost it. I'm sure that master would have been, well, I appreciate that you tried to do something with it.
Yes.
Now, I don't believe he would have gave him 10 cities to be in charge of. Maybe he would have given him another opportunity.
Yes.
Well, let me give you something else,
yes,
and let's see if you can work with that, and then we'll go from there.
Yes.
But what that was given to them, they utilized it in a way that it could multiply. And God and the servant or the master of those servants gave them more.
Yes.
They gave them more. I like to read something from the Amplified as it relates to that 26th verse. So it says, "For I say unto you that unto everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him." So let's break that down a little bit. The writer said it this way: "I tell you that to everyone who gets and has," and the comment here that the writer says, "because he valued his gifts from God and used them wisely, will be given more."
Yes, yes.
So if you utilize what God has given you, he's going to give you more.
Amen.
Just like the parable.
Yes.
The one that gained the 10 pounds, the 10 additional,
yes,
he got 10 cities to be in charge of.
Amen.
Now the second half of that verse: "But from the man who does not get and does not have, because he disregarded his gifts from God." In other words, God has given something to me and I'm not using it. Even that, he's going to take away. What good is something if it's not being used? You know, sometimes I think about, you know, we got a closet full of clothes. And I'm sure there's some clothes in my closet that haven't been used for a long time. What use is there? They just sitting in there taking up space. It's time for me to give them to somebody else so they can use them. Lord, help me to do that. And I'm probably not the only one. I'm just saying. God is requiring more of us. You know, being stewards over the harvest around us, that's just the beginning. That's just the proving ground. God wants more. God needs some somebody. Somebody that's willing. That's where it starts, with being willing.
Yeah, that's true.
Are we willing? Because you know what? Sometimes the work that somebody does, nobody sees. It's kind of, some of it's behind the scenes. Everything isn't on the front lines. It's the behind the scenes work. But we have to be willing. We have to be willing, even in those circumstances, to know that God is keeping a record.
Yes.
And he's taking note.
Yes.
He's taking note of the things that you do that nobody sees. You know, we live in a world that's just self-promoting. You know, we even in our jobs, it's all about promoting yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about things you do behind the scenes. You know, I kind of have the philosophy that I want what I do to speak for itself.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to go to work and toot my own horn. Have you seen what I did? I don't believe that God will have me to do that. So I'm not going to do that.
Yes.
So if I stay in whatever position I'm in, so be it. Because I want that to be able to be recognized without me blasting it to everybody.
Yes.
So God takes note even of the little things.
Yes.
the things that we do behind the scenes. As we think about this, the purpose that we have. So that's where it starts. It starts with our individual hearts.
Yeah.
That's the beginning. So we have to be faithful in that.
Yeah.
And if we're faithful in that, just like the parable made mention, God will bless us in other ways.
Yeah.
Maybe it starts with just being a somebody. Somebody that'll do the things that nobody else wants to do. As we think about life, we can ask some questions. And listen, I can ask myself this question. You know, a lot of times I tell the folks at home different thoughts and things that are shared. I'm preaching to myself. Y'all just getting able to listen to it. And I pray that it's something that can encourage you along life's pathway. So I can ask myself, am I fulfilling the purpose that God has for me in my life? And if I ask myself that question, if the answer is no, I can say, well, why not? Why am I not doing that? Because if God has given something to me and I'm not utilizing it, He's going to take it away. He'll give it to somebody else that's going to use it. Just like those clothes in the back of my closet.
Yes,
I can give them to somebody else that can use them. Because they're not doing me any good except collecting dust on them. You know, clothes can collect dust in the closet. You know? Because they're not doing anything. What is our purpose? What is our purpose? What's the scripture say? Fear God and keep His commandments.
Yes.
That's the whole duty of man.
Yes.
And utilize what He's given us so that He doesn't take it away. And if I'm not fulfilling the purpose that I have, that God has for me in my life, Lord, I want to seek You to know how I can fulfill that.
Yes.
And when I seek Him, I can't do it half-heartedly.
Right. That's true. Right. Amen.
Lord, help me here to do this or that. There has to be some earnestness.
Yes.
We have to seek Him with our whole heart. You may could ask the question, well, what about brother so-and-so? What about sister so-and-so? Huh? That's none of my business. I'm not responsible for the talents or whatever God has given them. That's not my job to be watching to see if they're using what God gave. All I'm in charge of is me and what God has given me. It's enough in this world that we live in just to fight the devil for ourselves. He's trying to hinder us in all the ways that he can. I don't have time to be concerned about somebody else. What's the scripture say? He walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's doing all that he can to hinder me from being fruitful in God's service.
That's right.
Everything that he can do, every obstacle that he can throw in, he doesn't take any breaks. He never sleeps. He's always in attack mode.
Yeah.
We can just be enough just to fight off the enemy. We don't have time to be worried about nobody else. We just need to be concerned about what God has given us charge over.
That's right.
There are some scriptures in Corinthians that talks about that. Talks about us just being concerned about our part. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Starting at verse 5, reading down through verse 10.
Who then is Paul?
Who then is Paul?
And who is Apollos?
Who's Apollos?
But ministers by whom ye believe.
Ministers by whom you believe.
Even as the Lord gave to every man.
Even as the Lord gave to every man.
I planted.
Paulus watered.
God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything.
Neither he that watereth.
But God that giveth the increase.
Now he that planteth.
And he that watereth are one.
Every man shall receive his own reward
according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God. Which is given unto me. As a wise master builder,
I have laid the foundation,
and another buildeth thereupon.
But let every man take heed
how he buildeth thereupon.
My responsibility is only what God has given my charge.
Yes,
and the reward that I receive is going to be according to my labor.
Yes.
And it has nothing to do with anybody else.
Yes, that's so true.
Amen. Lord, help me to do my part. Yes. Number one. And number two is to give the credit and the glory to God.
Amen.
Because what did he say? Somebody planted, somebody else water, but God is the one who gave the increase.
Right.
It's because of him.
Amen.
It's because of him. God needs some laborers. Like us to think about the words of the song. I meant to bring a book. Number 311. No doubt we've sung this song many times. Maybe thought about it and considered it. The writer said, I can't be idle. I can't be like that servant that took the pound and wrapped it in a napkin and put it under the mattress. That's being idle.
Amen.
Jesus said, go and work in my harvest today. And then at the evening, when labor is done, whatever is right, I will pay. I cannot be idle. The fields are so white, and numberless sheaves will be lost. They perish for want of more reapers to save. How awful to think of the cost. To think that if I didn't fulfill the purpose that God had for me, now some souls are lost.
Lord, no.
Now that's on me. I can't be idle. Soon time will be o'er, and reaping will be ended for end. I'll gather the lost from the byways of sin to walk in the beautiful way. I cannot be idle. No time for repose. My resting shall be over there, where all of the faithful in heaven above a crown of bright glory shall wear. Then away to the work I will go, and join in the reaping of grain I'll go, and back from the harvest with beautiful sheaves I'll come with rejoicing again. Think about some of the thoughts in these verses. There's so many needy people around us. We need to be examples. And whatever, like I mentioned, it starts in our harvest, in our field of influence.
Yes.
God is calling for us to be faithful in that. Even as children and young adults, you need to be faithful. People are watching you, looking at you. You know, people watch. They observe. What is he going to do? What is he going to do? Think about time. It's so short, isn't it? It's so short. We got to utilize the time that God has given us. We don't want him to take things away from us that he desired us to use. As we think about the words of that song, think about a few thoughts here in closing. If we haven't been laboring in our own vineyard, well, we've been laboring, but if we haven't been laboring for God, it's time to start.
Yes, that's right.
It's time to start. And if we have been, we can say, thank you, Lord, by your help and by your grace, I've been faithful in my vineyard.
Yes.
Guess what? God is calling for more.
Amen.
He wants more. All right. You've proved yourself faithful in your vineyard. Now it's time for another. Take the next step. I need to seek him earnestly. More earnestly maybe than I ever have before. Lord, how do you want to use me to your honor and glory? And if we've been endeavoring to fulfill the purpose that we believe God has called for us, then I need to continually seek him. Seek him earnestly so that I might be the vessel that he is calling me to be.
Amen.
That's my desire. Lord, I want to seek you more earnestly to be able to utilize whatever you have given me to be the vessel that you are calling me to be.
Amen.
That's our purpose, isn't it? We're all vessels to be used of God. And the things that God has given us, he can certainly give them to somebody else. But you know, we're all individuals. And we utilize things in a different way. You know, something that God has given me to use, if I don't use it, he can take it and have somebody else use it, but they might not use it in the same way that I do. There may be some that I might be able to reach that others can't. And that's vice versa. So as we think about being laborers, as we think about the verses back there in Matthew, the 9th chapter, and the 37th and 38th verse. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he sent forth laborers into the harvest. I desire your prayers this morning. My prayer is to be the vessel that God would have me to both be and to fulfill the purpose that he has for me in my life. I desire your prayers.